couple years ago, a homeless man in Detroit found $21,000 worth of U.S. savings bonds in the trash when he was simply looking for something to eat. Even though he had nothing to his name, immediately he decided to turn it over to the owner. So he went to a 24-hour walk-in homeless shelter and turned in the $21,000 of U.S. savings bonds, and he walked away. A staffer made some contacts and some phone calls and located the owner's family. And according to the Associated Press article, the 59-year-old homeless man was given $100 from the son of the deceased bond owner for finding the $21,000. When the story hit the newspaper, Detroit residents and people from all over America decided that wasn't enough and they wanted to do more. One man sent him 8 trash bags full of bottle returns and a bowl full of coins. 3 others gave him $2,500. A man from Albuquerque, New Mexico, gave him $1,000, and 2 men from Troy, Michigan, 2 businessmen, gave him $1,200 and also helped him find a job. Generosity is always contagious. In this series, so far, we've seen where generosity begins. Generosity begins with God. God is the ultimate giver, for God so loved the world that He gave. We've also seen what generosity looks like, and the best picture of generosity is what God did for us in sending Jesus Christ to die for our sins on the cross. Now, we're talking about giving, and every time we talk about giving, people's reaction changes. It's the one weekend at CCV when everybody leaves, nobody looks at me. All right? Now, listen very carefully. If I was going to tell you today, I'm going to take all your money before you leave, you would have every right to look at me like you do. But if I would tell you today, I'm going to help you grow spiritually, and I'm going to help you achieve financial freedom and receive the blessing of God, would not you be pumped to receive that? Yeah. Both of you? Yes? All right? So just act like that's what's going to happen today. Fair enough? And look at me with joy and anticipation. Why should we be generous? Several reasons. Because God created us to be givers and not keepers. Secondly, because when we're generous, we're most like God who was generous. And thirdly, because God wants to impact the world through us. Can you imagine how we could impact this city and this world if every person that calls CCV home would begin to model generosity? We could reach so many more people for Jesus Christ. We'd be able to help single parents get back on their feet. We'd be able to reach out and meet the needs of widows and widowers. We'd be able to fully fund missionaries all over the world. We'd be able to build medical clinics and orphanages and training centers. We could start churches anywhere and everywhere. There's no limit to what we could do for the kingdom of Jesus Christ if all of us began to live and give generously. So the question today, how can we demonstrate generosity? How in the world can we model it? First of all, generosity begins where obedience ends. We've got to understand the difference between obedience and generosity. And to understand that difference, we've got to go back to the Old Testament, to Malachi chapter 3, where it makes an incredible differentiation between tithes. The word tithe means 10%. Tithe is obedience, and offering is generosity. The Bible says this, "Will a man rob God? Yet you rob me." But you ask, wait a minute, God, how do we rob you? And He says, you rob me in tithes and offerings. In other words, when we don't give to God, we are literally robbing Him who gave us everything. You're under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you're robbing me. In other words, tithing is not an act of generosity. Tithing is an act of obedience. Because you see, tithing, giving 10%, is not an offering, and giving an offering is not a tithe. Tithing is giving 10% of our income back to God in obedience. Offerings are over and above the 10%. It's the 90% that God leaves for us to use however we want. That's what the offering comes from. From a practical and biblical standpoint, we can't call anything we give to God an offering until we've first given a tithe, the 10%. You say, but whoa, wait a minute, Pastor. Isn't tithing an Old Testament teaching? Yes. It's also a New Testament teaching. It's also a biblical teaching. Matthew 23, Jesus said, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You give a tenth," there's the tithe, "you give a tenth of your spices, your mint, your dill, and your cumin, but you've neglected the more important matters of the law, like justice, mercy, and faithfulness." Notice what he says. You should have practiced the latter, meaning you should have continued to be people of mercy, justice, and faithfulness, but you should not have neglected the former, which was the giving of tithes. In fact, Jesus talks about tithing in Luke 11, Luke 18, Hebrews 7, and Matthew 21. It's all throughout the Bible. The point is this: tithing is not the ceiling when it comes to giving. Tithing is the beginning point. It's the floor where we start to trust the obedience and blessing of God. So what is tithing anyway? Let's look at a few things. First of all, tithing is proportionate giving. It represents the most equitable way for all of us as members of the Church of Jesus Christ to share in our stewardship responsibility. You see, tithing is the great equalizer of giving. Because whether you make $200,000 a year or whether you make $20,000 a year, if we all give 10%, if we tithe, we're sacrificing the same. Our gift is not the same, but our sacrifice is the same. That's why tithing is the great equalizer, no matter where we come from or how much we give or how much we make. Secondly, tithing is priority giving. Bible says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits. Underline the word first fruits. That's a priority. It has to come first. The first fruit of all your crops, then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. Tithing is a spiritual system for putting God first. Now, if you look there in your outline, in your program, it says to you, how would you prioritize the following? I want you to take 30 seconds right now and prioritize those 1 through 5. Don't do it the way that I would tell you to do it. Do it the way that you currently spend your money. Where do you put the first check? Where do you put the second? Where do you put the third? Everybody take 30 seconds right quick and go through those and say, this is what I do in my financial situation. You see, most people have maintaining their lifestyle as their top priority. And because their lifestyle causes them to spend more than they make, debt repayment becomes their second priority. Taxes are most of our third priority because we have to pay taxes. The fourth priority tends to be saving for our kids' college or saving for retirement, and that leaves tithing to the Lord as the fifth priority. May I suggest that we need to turn that upside down? We need to start with the bottom of that list as our top priority and work our way up. You see, most of us are living with upside-down priorities, and that's resulted in all kinds of financial and spiritual problems that with this economic downturn, it has come back to really cause us major problems. Is it any wonder that our lives are out of balance and we're constantly stressed out? Here it is. If you want to be serious about growing as a Christian, if you want to get out of serious financial problems, God's plan is simple. The best thing you can do is to make tithing the first priority of your financial plan. Now, how do you do that? I'm going to tell you how my wife and I have done that. We have always tithed and given offerings ever since we've been married. But the last few years, we've did something even different. We basically take advantage of the automated giving program at CCV. Many of you do that here at our church. And that way, we have made a spiritual decision that whether we're on vacation or whether we're here, we're on the mission field or wherever we are, that every time we get paid, automatically the first check, the first fruits, goes right through our automated giving system here at CCB. You can go online and do the same thing. I would encourage you to do that, because then it's a way that you've made a lifestyle decision that you're going to simply trust God. You see, God's plan for financial freedom is this: give the first 10% to Him, save 10%, and then maintain your lifestyle on 80%. Most of us are in major financial problems because we've not maintained 80% of our income on our lifestyle. Too many of us, we've tried to maintain 105% of our income on our lifestyle. And that's why we are struggling financially. You see, it takes no faith to give God leftovers. If you say, God, I trust you, and you make care of all of your expenses, and then whatever's left over, you think about what you're going to give to God, there's no faith involved in that at all. Tithing is priority giving. It's a decision. God, I will put you first in my finances and in my life. Now, the truth is, most of us struggle with that. Most of us struggle with that. I want you to listen to this testimony from the Barron's family. They've been members of CCV for a long time. They've always given, but they had to come to that realization, wait a minute, am I going to trust God or not? Listen to their struggle and their story.
Hi, I'm Tim Behrens, and this is my wife, Julie, and we've been members of CCV since 1982. Got baptized when I was 12 or 13 years old back in Kansas, so I've kind of always, again, been raised in a Christian home, and when we moved out to Phoenix, I think it would have been 1972. At that time, we got involved with a church, Northwest Community, or Northwest Christian Church on 43rd Avenue in Peoria. And it wasn't until, six, 7 years ago that I started kind of being more challenged about what it means to tithe. And then it's been about 3 years ago, because I started my own business about 3 years ago, to faithfully tithe. And, God's met our needs, and my business did take off, for a couple of years, made more money than I ever made. But, I'll have to admit, with the economy now, sure, things are tough, but that hasn't changed my view on tithing. And it's also, I think, kind of it's solidified it that I'm not tithing to get God's blessing. I'm tithing because it's His commandment and because I love Him, and I'm going to do what He says I should do.
Once he started his own business, he was really blessed, it seemed like. It was just like an overflow of work. And we started doing the 10%, giving the 10%. And, I really felt much better about it because I felt like God's given us everything. Everything we have, and for Him to ask for 10%, is such a little amount when you think about it. And it's freed me up in my thinking a lot that we are giving, the 10% now. And you really should be wanting to give even more when you think of all He's done for you.
I think the real test is right now, frankly, because the past 6 months, given the economy, it hasn't been good. But it's going to be 10%, and that's what we're going to do, and that's God's commandment to me. And again, just pray about it and let God speak to your heart. It's been talked about, well, if you're given 5% now, just try 6% next year, and then 7%, and then build up to it. And I would say, no, that's not scriptural. Again, in my mind, if I don't give the 10%, I'm robbing from God. And how can I say I love my God and rob from Him?
God has to be first in your life. And, you have to honor Him and give Him your all.
It's great speaking at four services because every service reacts differently. The two on Saturday night were really immature Christian groups. Nobody clapped. And I told them, why is it we clap for every video except when somebody shares their heart on giving? Because we're convicted more. So last service was kind of like this. I want to thank all 12 of you for clapping and rejoicing in that. But isn't that interesting just how that impacts all of us? Do you ever get frustrated at knowing how much to tip for certain services? I want you to know, when I travel, I'm always nervous about what the tipping standards are. A few years ago, my wife and I went on a trip to New Zealand. The service was unbelievable, and it was against the law or the custom to tip. It was really spoiled us. It was incredible. But I get frustrated today when people give me poor service but still expect a big tip. So this week, I started looking at tipping etiquette, and here's what I found. Limo or taxi driver, you should give him 15% of the total bill. A charter pilot, if you charter a plane, sorry, he gets nothing. Personal shopper, 10% of the total purchases. Tour guide, 10 to 15% of the tour price. Food server at a restaurant, 15 to 20%. Remember when it used to be 10%? Bartender, 15 to 20%. Hairstylist, 10 to 20%. Hair extension, 10 to 20%. Laser hair removal, nothing. Unbelievable. If I want to cover my bald spot with an extension, I got to give a big tip. If I tell them to whack it all off, they get nothing. Car detailing, 15%. Clown at a children's party, 15 to 20%. Pet groomers, 15%. Pet sitters, 15%. Tree removal, nothing. Landscaping or weekly lawn service, nothing. Window washing, nothing. They take care of your house. You give them nothing. They take care of your pet. Off the chart. Starbucks, nothing. Tip jars at restaurants, starting to see those all the time now, nothing. I have two observations from this list. Number one, who decides all this stuff? Who is it that writes the book that says you give nothing here, 10% here, 15% here, 20% here? Who determines that? The second observation I have, isn't it interesting? Why do we give 15 to 20% to everyone who serves us and we think nothing of it, yet we sit here and struggle week after week giving 10% to the one who has given us eternal life? We say Jesus is Lord and we love Him. It's time for us that call ourselves Christians to get our priorities straight. And the place to start is with tithing. Tithing, the first 10%, represents priority giving. You know, tithing is also purposeful giving. It's purposeful giving. Generous giving is God's design for the church to accomplish its mission. What was the mission of the church? The Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Our mission at CCV, we exist to win people to Christ, to train believers to become disciples, and to send disciples to impact the world. Because of your generosity this past year, it has allowed us to reach out to more than 30 countries, literally around the world. Tithing is purposeful giving. You see, generous giving brings blessing. There's something special about tithing and generous giving. Barry Cameron, who spoke here a couple weeks ago, quotes, and he says, tithing and generous giving is how we get under the spout where all of God's blessings come out. There's only one place in the Bible where God says, I will throw open the floodgates of heaven and bless you so much. It's found in Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. He says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Test me in this. Underline test me in this. That's the only place in the Bible that God says to put him to the test. It's in giving. Because he knew that would be the most difficult thing for us to trust him with. He says, test me and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing, you won't have room enough for it. What is it that opens God's blessing and God's floodgate? Is it prayer? No. Is it Bible reading? No. Is it taking care of widows and the poor? No. Is it worship? No. All those things are great. But the one thing that opens the floodgates of God's blessing is tithing. Listen carefully. Is it any wonder then that the devil does everything he can and fights so hard to discourage us and distract us when it comes to giving and tithing? Dave Ramsey said, quote, if all the Christians tithe in America, there'd be no more welfare. In 90 days, there'd be no more existing church or hospital debts. In the next 90 days, the entire world would be evangelized. There would be prayer in schools because Christians would buy all the schools. End of quote. Generosity begins where tithing ends. Generosity begins where tithing ends. And the Bible says tithing brings blessing. Generosity brings even more blessings. Generosity starts the cycle of continuous blessing. It happened again last night in the cafe. I've heard it's going today. Last night, they had 17 different people that bought the food for them behind them that pay it forward. It just started and went right on and right on. And somebody walked out today and said, hey, somebody already bought my meal. Don't you wish you were at that service? As long as we're generous, the blessings never stop. The Bible puts it this way. Seek first, priority giving, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. If you have your Bibles, turn to 2 Corinthians, New Testament, chapter 9. 2 Corinthians, chapter 9. This is a great passage that talks about the truth and the blessings of God through generosity. It says this. Verse 6, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. In other words, you heard me talk about this last week. He says, if you're generous, if you sow generosity to others, you're going to get it back. If you're stingy with others, you're going to get stingy back. Each man should give what he's decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. What does that mean? That means if you come here each week and when we pass the offering baskets, if you give that grudgingly, if you feel you're doing it out of guilt and you don't like it, don't give. You're not going to be blessed, and God's not going to be blessed. God doesn't need your gift. God has plenty of money. God wants you to give it with a grateful heart. You are so thankful for what God has done, you cheerfully give. He says that when you give cheerfully, God is able to make all grace abound to you so that in all things, at all times, having all you need. That's pretty good, people. You will abound in every good work. He goes on to say in verse 10, now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. Here it is. You will be made rich in every way, not just financially. You'll be rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through your generosity, it will result in thanksgiving to God. When we're generous, God gets all the credit. You see, sounds like contagious generosity to me. True story. A few years ago, a pastor friend of mine in the Seattle area said that he would preach, and after he'd preach, he'd go out and he would stand in the lobby and shake hands. And he said there was a new couple that came to their church. They were kind of from a charismatic background, and they really made him nervous because they came out the first time they met him, and, oh, hallelujah, pastor, praise the Lord. It is so great to be here. We're glad that God brought us to this church. And he said it was kind of loud, and it was kind of okay, thank you. And he said for the first several weeks, same thing. Oh, hallelujah, praise God, pastor. And he said he'd kind of cringe. He said, in fact, if he was honest, he got to the point where he said, Lord, I hope they don't come this week. They're kind of making me really uncomfortable. He said, sure enough, true story, that week he's back in the lobby shaking hands. He looks up and about 10 people back, there they are again. He thinks, oh, no. He said he shook all the hands, kept them. Oh, pastor, hallelujah, praise God. We are so thankful that you brought us to this church. God is doing great things. In fact, we want to bless you and your church with a gift. And they gave him a check. True story, to his surprise, he opened the check. It was a check for $1 million. And you know what he said? I found myself instantly going, hallelujah, praise the Lord. It is fantastic what God is doing. That's a true story. He said, you know what? Contagious generosity does that. This week, I was eating in a restaurant with two guys from CCV and talking to them. And over in the corner was another group from CCV. And I got ready for my bill. And I motioned to the waitress, bring me my check. And she goes, and she went like that. I was getting ready to buy their food. And they beat me to it. And they bought our food. By the way, go online. You'll find out where I'm going to be eating this week if you want to go there. And contagious generosity. It's incredible. We shared with you last week about one of the things we're doing this fall here for the Thanksgiving holiday season is to pay for and pack food for 1 million meals. It's going to cost us $200,000. It's going to take 4,800 volunteers. And I said, sign up. Don't miss the blessing. I want you to know it's all full. You're going to have to be on a waiting list if somebody cancels to be a part of that. I shared with you the little girls that had went door to door and sold some of their things and last week and what they're doing for that. We're doing all kinds of creative things. One neighborhood group came up and said they have made over $1,000 in a yard sale that they had. Somebody came up after the last service and said, what did they sell? We had one yesterday and only made $200. I said, that's why I had on my yard sale free. You can have it. We did that a few months ago. You want to have fun with our culture today? Contagious generosity? Do a yard sale and put a sign that says free. Just do that. It will bless your socks off. People came up to us and said, how much do you want for that? I said, it's free. God's blessed us. You can take whatever you want. I know, but how much do you want for that? I said, it's free. And one guy said, I don't feel good about this and still gave me some money. I said, that's not enough. Take it back. No, I didn't. I didn't say that. All right. But contagious generosity, it's incredible what God is doing, and I'm great to be a part of that kind of a church. The application question is this. What do I need to do to demonstrate contagious generosity? We can talk about it. What do we do to demonstrate it? You might be here today and you say, Pastor Don, what can I do to demonstrate contagious generosity? I am glad you asked. Look inside of your program right now, and would you pull out this card? Right now, listen. Don't anybody leave. The devil will try to discourage us right now and get us off target. This is the most spiritual moment that will happen in your life and mine for the next few months. I'm serious. Look at this card. On this side it says, in my life and finances, I'm going to acknowledge that God owns everything. Again, we're not owners, we're managers. Be aware of and avoid the subtlety of debt. Well, we've had to learn that the hard way. Adopt the centrality of the tithe. Go above the tithe and become a generous giver. Flip to the other side. My tithing commitment card. Recognizing that God owns everything, I choose to obey God, to be generous and put Him first in all areas of my life, including my finances, because I believe that He will more than meet my needs. Now, some of you maybe have already filled this out. I want everybody to do that right now, but before you do that, listen carefully. September last year, our church was $370,000 in the red. Things were tough. In the month of October, we had to let go 11 good staff because we believed that our economy was going to be this way for at least a year, and we tried to be proactive rather than reactive. We also then had a stewardship, ABCs of financial freedom, and we challenged many of you to step up and give. Last year, 1,300 families checked the box, I will start tithing for the first time. We had hundreds of families that tithe, I checked the box, I will start giving above 10%. And I want you to know, from October to December, we wiped out the $370,000 debt and we finished the year in the black. On top of that, this past year, we've given hundreds of thousands of dollars more to missions than we have in any other year of this church. We have helped more people that are not a part of CCV and benevolence than any time in the history of our church. We have spent more money to our members who are out of work, who can't pay their mortgages, who can't pay utilities, and to their friends. We've given more money away than any other time in the history of this church in bad financial times, and we've also paid off $2.5 million debt on the children's building because of your incredible generosity. And I want to tell you, thank you for doing that. So, God's blessed our socks off last year. Let's go for it and move from tithing to generosity this year. Each of you, look here and check one box. The date is November 22nd. Sign your name and print your name. It says, I will start tithing. I pray for some of you, if you're new since last year, and maybe you've never done that, maybe Tim's story, you would say, you know what? I'm going to start being obedient to God no matter what and trust Him with the tithe. Or maybe you've already started doing that. Maybe you're one of the 1,300 families last year that began to tithe, and you say, you know what? I've lost my house, I've lost my job, but God's still taking care of all my needs, and no matter what He blesses me with, I'm still going to trust Him and give 10%. It's my prayer that many of you 1,300 families that were tithing last year, that you realize God will bless you, and you've said, I'm going to check the box, I'll start giving above the tithe. I'm going to understand tithe and offering. I'm going to move from obedience to generosity because God has been so generous. Or for many of you, you're already giving above 10%, and may would you continue to be faithful because you know that God has blessed you so much. Would you take about 15 seconds right now? If you hadn't, fill this out. I'm going to pray. The ushers will come, and we're going to take our regular tithes and offerings and put it in the basket. And I also want to encourage you to do this as well. Listen to one thing. If you're married, you're a husband, a wife, and you're here, and you are arguing or in a disagreement on which box to check, do not check a box. Do not check a box. I do not want to be a part of financial division and stress in your marriage. I want it to be unity. You take it home and talk about it and pray about it. And if you can't come to an agreement on that, don't give. Because you want God's blessing. On the other hand, if you and a husband and wife can come together on this and trust God, it will bless you incredibly. And I want to say to you men, most of the time, we men have a harder time with checking the box than the ladies. Men, you're the spiritual leaders. Step up and trust God, and it will be an incredible example for your marriage and your family, and God will do incredible things. But if you can't agree, don't do it. You want God's blessing, and you got to be united on that. God doesn't need our money. He's got plenty. God just wants our trust and faith, and He wants to bless us incredibly. Let's pray, and then we'll celebrate together as we give these and put them in the offering basket. Lord God, thank You. You are an incredible God. You are generous. You've given us eternal life. You've blessed us in one of the richest countries in the world. We have so many things, and even though many of us have lost our homes, we're living in rentals, and it's still better than most of the people in the world. Even though some of us have lost our jobs, Lord, You keep blessing us. We have food on the table. We have clothes. You protected us. We want to say thank You. I pray that as a church, we would grow spiritually today in ways we've never grown before by simply saying, Lord, this church is not trying to suck money out of me. It's trying to help me grow in my faith and trust you more. And I want to do this because I want your blessing more than ever. And God, I pray that you would bless every person that checks this box, their way of saying, God, I'm going to put you to the test. And would you bless our socks off again this coming year as you have this year? Thank you, Lord, for letting us give. Thank you for letting us catch the generosity gene. May our contagious generosity spill out and impact this whole city and world. We love you, Lord. It's in your name we pray. Amen.